Different song, same era.
So Bohemian Grove.
Hi, Aaron Spursky.
Hi, Annie Hardy. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good tonight. Saturday night.
Saturday night is all right.
For fighting, fisting,
and loving.
And loving.
Yes, it is.
And the Edie Brickell and self-awareness.
Yes, self-awareness.
Oh, and that...
Know thyself, as Benjamin Franklin once said.
Right. And heal thyself as...
Jesus?
No, that was... What's that bitch's name? Louise Hay.
Mm.
She's the one who makes the app that lets me know what is at the root of all these different physical illnesses.
Right.
People hate it when I...
tell them that they're not really sick, but they actually aren't speaking their truth.
Yeah, but no, they really are sick, but the reason why they're sick is because they are, one of their chakras is deficient or overactive, and that's just the truth.
Right.
So today we have some full psycho American primitive announcements. Oh, but that recording you heard at the very top of the show was me as a young 10 or 11 year old.
Amazing.
From my original Empath of Lisa.
Your first radio show.
On 1234.5 Geek FM.
That's my favorite.
1234.5 Geek FM. So, For announcements this week, if you live in England, London specifically, Starcrawler is going to be there.
Yes, they are.
If you don't know who that band is, that is something you should look into. It also happens to be Aaron's daughter's band.
It is indeed, and they do kick some serious bottoms.
They're really great. So if you're in London this week, the week of whatever, this is the 13th today, so this is going to come out on the 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th. And by that time, they'll already have played a couple shows.
But you can catch them at the Great Escape Festival in Brighton, I believe, on Thursday morning.
I love Brighton.
Noon time, I think their set is.
Maybe we could put this out early. So what is their shows before that?
Well, I believe they're playing upstairs at the Garage, but they have a new name for that. And
the Carport.
It is. What is it?
Yeah, the Garage.
The Garage.
Well, if you go to Instagram, you can look at @StarCrawler, right?
Correct.
You can also use Google as a search engine or Bing and look it up yourself. Trust and believe that this band is going to be huge. So if you want to be ahead of the times and cool, get into it now. Their single just came out on cool blood-splattered vinyl.
Rough Trade Records, I believe it was released yesterday.
They don't put out complete hacks on Rough Trade, okay?
No.
And then, what else? Beachwood Sparks is playing next month, right?
On June 7th and June 9th. June 7th is at the Chapel in San Francisco, and June 9th is at the Wachika Festival in Napa Valley.
Wachika, Jamaica, ooh, I want to take you to July when I have a show opening for Sean Rowe on 7/7/17 and 7/8/17. 7/7 will be at Pico Union in LA. 7/8, Swedish American Music Hall, okay?
Nice.
Come on out. Come on in.
That's attached to the old Café du Nord, I heard. Is that true?
I think so. I liked Café du Nord's.
Yeah.
Oh, so this week we're talking about self-awareness. What do you tell me about self-awareness?
Well, from what I've gathered about self-awareness is it's good to know what you're good at and what you aren't.
And it's good to be able to objectively look at yourself and, you know, sort of judge, but without the really negative aspect of being judgmental, without being critical, just like in a good way, taking into question your motivations for what you do, say, think, and like just, you know, once in a while, I think it's good to go in and just like cleaning out your closet and be like, when is the last time I've worn this? And if it's been over a year, you're supposed to throw it away. I don't do that, though. Does anyone?
I have a hard time doing that, too.
Because some clothes just get better with age.
Yeah, or I box things up and forget about them, and then it's like...
it's like brand new stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially if you don't grow very often, like I don't.
Yeah. I fortunately shrunk back down to fitting all of my clothes, because for a couple months there I expanded.
And sedentary life will do that to you.
Nothing fit except for my stretch corduroy pants.
Stretch corduroy pants.
But, self-awareness also, in you were saying about judging yourself in a good way, it's nice to know how to say, that's not my strongest point. And that's yours, so let me maybe do this, which I'm good at, and pass that on to the next person, if you have a group dynamic in which...
which not a lot of that goes around these days, because we're living in the time of the narc, the narcissist, I of course mean, and nobody could be less self-aware and hold less of an ability to be self-aware than the narcissist. And since this show is about, like, you know, amongst other things, being an empath, being someone who's highly sensitive, there is, you know, the, what you would call it, the enemy of the empath. Oh, she's gonna jump. Gustine! Gustine, she can't do it! Oh, man. Gustine just tried to jump in the dresser drawer, but she couldn't do it.
Well, that was a nice attempt, though.
That, well, I saw her do it yesterday. It's strange she can't tonight. Mm. Gustine's my cat, everyone, a.k.a. Angel Baby, a.k.a. Marianne, a.k.a. Big Baby Gustine. Gustiest of them all, Gustine is. But the narcissist is, like, incapable of self-awareness. I actually wrote something about it this morning that perhaps I'll read. Now, I've noticed that people don't actually know what a narcissist is. That's right. Can I see this iPad?
Yeah, I thought a narcissist was somebody who just thought highly of themselves.
Yeah, no. I mean, a narcissist who fell in love with his reflection in the pool and then drowned, you know, I don't think that was, like, literal as much as it meant. Narcissists are so in love with the illusion that they're ego projects of them, their reflection, if you will, that they will actually meet their own demise defending who they think they are.
Right.
But it's not the same as having narcissistic personality disorder as categorized by the DSM.
Which has replaced what?
Psychopaths.
Psychopathy.
Yes, psychopathy is no longer a thing. No one's going to diagnose you as a psychopath. They're going to diagnose you as antisocial, narcissistic personality disorder, paranoid maybe.
Borderline personality disorder?
Borderline. That's not a psychopath, though. That's just, like, someone who's extremely annoying. Well, their whole thing is based on a fear of abandonment. Mm. The narcissist is more based around, well, let's look at the DSM-5, which is the Diagnostic Statistic Manual in its 5th edition. So, symptoms of narcissistic personality disorder would be a grandiose logic of self-importance, a fixation with fantasies of infinite success, control, brilliance, beauty, or idyllic love. So that's anyone who's, like, searching for that ideal love, their twin flame of all the universe, and they're, or somebody who's, like, wants to be in a band that they want to have be successful.
Well, grandiose, idealized, perfect mate. That's unattainable, I'd imagine.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, whatever. A credence that he or she is extraordinary and exceptional and can only be understood by or should connect with other extraordinary or important people or institutions. Mm-hmm. A desire for unwarranted admiration, a sense of entitlement.
That's a rock star complex.
Yeah. Interpersonally oppressive behavior. No form of empathy. Resentment of others or a conviction that others are resentful of him or her.
Yep.
A display of egotistical and conceited behaviors or attitudes.
Yep.
Another model characterizes NPD as having fair or superior impairment in personality functioning, apparent by characteristic troubles in at least 2 of the following 4 areas, American Psychiatric Association 2013. And that's individuality, self-direction, empathy, and closeness. And, you know, that's because the narcissist is interpersonally exploitative instead of having compassion or closeness. Empathy, no. Exploitativeness, yes. No physical characteristics are seen with NPD, but patients may have concurrent substance abuse, which may be seen in the clinical examination.
So basically, rock star people.
Basically, yes.
Clicky, conceited, high-minded, only want to hang out with other cool people.
Yeah, elitist.
Yeah.
Elitist, and, you know, I've been thinking about this a lot of, like, because I've been reformatting my hard drive, my brains, the hard drive, metaphorically speaking or whatever, about narcs, you know, because I was a narc in my 20s. Many people, I feel like, are, especially these days.
Yeah, everything described there pretty much describes everyone I knew.
Yeah, and most people I still know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm trying to be like, well, what was the difference between my thinking and my perspective from now to then? And I was really highly critical and a victim.
Yeah, and you also felt like people were constantly talking shit on you.
Oh, they did. They were, and they still are.
Well, but
no, even Caitlin told me, she's like, she had just come from an AA meeting. She's like, God, Annie, everyone, I've never heard people talk about someone like they talk about you. Like, I guess she meant in volume. And it's like, am I a narc, or is that really actually happening? Why have people been ever concerned with what I'm doing? And if they were, why wouldn't they reach out and holler at a brother?
Yeah, it's hard to say because you have a situation where people are actually talking about you, and it's not a paranoid delusion of grandiosity, or it's that. So, you know, I've had the same experience where, you know, for whatever reason, it's been either intriguing or like something, but I seem to have had moments where I've stirred a lot of shit amongst the shit talkers.
I could see that for sure.
Yeah.
The problem with hanging out with shit talkers and talking shit yourself is that when you guys sit around and you talk shit on everybody, you know as soon as you leave the room that everyone's going to be talking shit on you.
Oh, absolutely.
No matter how fucking cool you are, no matter how cool they all are to you, you know that if you're the only person that so-and-so doesn't talk shit on, then so-and-so actually talks shit on you.
Oh, absolutely.
But
absolutely.
If you're a liar, or especially if you're a narc, okay, because narcs are always liars, because they're always being interpersonally exploitative. Some of them try to do this non-lying thing where they just, like, they fail to tell the truth, and so they, like, weave their way around, like, speaking words that are a technical lie, but leaving certain things out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whatever, you know?
Omission,
lying by omission. So when you lie at all, you're more easily deceived. The more you lie, the more deceivable you are. And I remember back in the day when I was in my narc era, I, you know, lied. But the lying happens the most to your own self, I feel like.
Well, I think it's kind of almost like a split paradigm, too, because you have, like, the, you know, public kind of, or not public, but, like, your way of dealing with people.
Mm-hmm.
And then you hang up the phone. You're like, oh, hey, nice to hear from you. Yeah, okay, cool, gonna blah, blah, blah. Hang up the phone. Oh, fucking.
Yeah, you fucking know. Loser. Sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, yeah, and whoever's there with you gets like the inside skinny on what,
right.
What you really think. But you never really address the rest of the world that way. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah.
It's, what is it called? Where you compartmentalize
mm-hmm.
your life.
Totally.
That
exactly.
is a huge narc thing.
Yeah.
And I definitely did it back in the day. And it's like you compartmentalize your life, and you're this way with your family, and you're this way with these friends, and that way with these other friends, and blah, 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 blah.
And if you have one of those friends come into, like, your world of, like, your cool friends,
mm-hmm.
you have, it's, like, really uncomfortable because, like, you don't know how to, you kind
right.
of ignore them, or you can't really address them, and you don't introduce them, and there's just all these layers.
Oh, I'm so happy I'm not cool anymore. Hey, man. Watch it.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. It's quite all right.
I had to scratch my leg.
Why?
I don't know.
It was crying out for an itching.
It was.
Which leg?
My right leg.
Oh, your masculine leg.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, well, maybe that leg's like trying to tell you it wants to step out in the world and do something new.
Stretch out?
Or it might just be have a
Charlie horse?
Or a Morgellons disease.
Or better yet, dry skin. But...
but compartmentalizing your life, like Hannah Montana style,
mm-hmm.
you don't get the best of both worlds. In fact, you get the worst of all of them because you are operating this life that is this house of cards that could collapse at any minute.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a narc, you know, you are probably dating at least two people and running game here and there. And it's just, it's all, you know, it's all going to collapse, but you lie to yourself. You delude yourself that it won't.
Yeah.
And you suck at telling lies because you are lying to yourself. Most of all, the lie, the originating lie is usually the one where you're the victim of everything. And I was for sure, like I was, everyone had done something to me and I made my victimization the reason I could do, you
whatever
know,
you want. You had license
exactly,
to do whatever the
exactly.
fuck you want.
It's a rationalization, justification, and it is how come the narcs don't get better most of the time.
Right. Well, it ties into a few things, like alcoholism has a lot of self-pity is a big thing with that. I you know, the isolation and
mm-hmm.
But I hear this, you know, when, like, people treat musicians successful, you know, the myth is, like, you have, there's, like, groupies or, like, you have, like, you date all these, like, fine women, you know, and stuff like that.
I didn't do that.
Well, not you, but the male counterpart to that is, like, oh, you know, you went on tour, oh, yeah, did you get a lot of girls or whatever? So it's, there's that thing of... it's like accepted and encouraged and admired if you're in a certain sphere of influence or doing a certain thing. And then if you're that kind of dude, but you're just like some normal bar hopping, dippity doo hair jock guy, then you're, you know, you're a bro and you're a misogynistic,
what?
Narcissistic womanizer. Yeah. I've always felt like people, at, you know, kind of cut these, you know, all of these things here that were just described remind me of people I know that play in bands.
Has it reminded you of you ever?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I certainly can say that, you know, a lot of those things were, you know, things that I thought were... kind of the social norm in the environment I was in. Certainly.
Well, yes. And when it becomes the norm, it becomes so much easier to, like, ignore that little tiny twinge of shame that you experience when you do something that's out of line with your morals and ideals. If you have any in this devil's day and age on Earth... to begin with, like, it's so crazy. The world we live in is so fucking crazy. Like, everyone's insane. And I can say that as someone who is self-admittedly crazy myself. But I think I'm crazy only based on the fact that everyone who calls me that is insane.
Mm-hmm.
It's insane today to be... truthful, honest, and caring.
Yes. And to, you know...
be straight.
You know, all of the media programs that I've witnessed in the recent years, really starting with that celebrity tabloid culture that came about in the early aughts, but has reached its pinnacle, all seem to promote narcissism as the social norm across the board. Your Jersey Shores, and well, that's a little older now, but
that's,
you know,
a reality show.
But all,
yeah,
those,
they all did it.
Yeah,
they all definitely did it. They
trained,
turned it into a world of where everyone is the star of their own show that's not being recorded.
And it's okay to, yeah, it's okay to, you know, have multiple girlfriends or boyfriends going at the same time unwittingly and all of that shit. It's like acceptable.
Don't be Tindering, boys, just because there's two girls for every boy. I heard Dexy told me that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so that's why there's at least two girls for
Geek
every
City,
boy.
Here we come.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to Herpes City, it sounds like, actually.
Yeah.
Gonna have some fun. Open wounds on your penis a ton. Two girls for every guy. Two open wounds on your thigh. Ouch.
That's a sad song.
It is. You didn't hear this side of the Beach Boys before. Oh.
So, getting back to the self-awareness part,
right.
How do we come out of that? How do we, what do we do to heal ourselves from lots of bad training and bad influences?
Well, that's where bringing things into question happens. It's like anytime you have an emotional reaction to something, like say somebody says something and you become defensive or you take offense to it, like two things that I despise, by the way, so I must do it myself or something, but you have to be able to stop in the tracks of an emotional outburst, you know,
mm-hmm.
and be like, wait, why do I feel this way? You know, you have to stop yourself from just being a reactive person and you know, work on your introspection. Meditation is the first, like, step to getting some space between, you know, this thing happens and then I react emotionally and I can't control myself. Meditation helps you put some wiggle room in between feeling a way and acting a way. Feeling some type of way and acting some type of way.
The reactive mind.
Right, because you have
bypass the neurotic pathway.
Right, because there's some part of your brain that actually makes it impossible when you get mad to react sensibly. It overrides your logic system,
mm-hmm.
within your brain's chemistry, and you actually react. You know, emotions are
yeah.
take hold,
sure.
and that's that. You know, it's not just in women. Guys do it too.
Right, right. Although it gets pretty intense around the full moon, right?
The full moon's an intense time. A new moon is intense, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that's like moony, anything that periods are crazy. But
mm-hmm.
I think those are supposed to fall around that same time too.
Right, right. Well, I guess that was my narky undercurrent point.
Yeah, blaming just the bitches again. Thanks a lot, man pig. Do you see where my phone is?
Let's see.
Because I would like to read from that article that says how to know that you're like, you suck at self-awareness. How to know you have little to no self-awareness.
Right.
And I'm like, thank you.
Let me see.
Dicks in my mouth. Damn it. I have to stop saying that. I have to stop saying dicks in my mouth when I, something drops.
You don't
drops.
Have dicks in your mouth.
I know. Why do I even say that? See, this is self-awareness right now.
Yeah.
What is it?
It's a lack of self-awareness.
No. What I'm doing right now is self-awareness.
Right. But that is just reactive. It's exactly what you're saying.
Right, I get it. Done judging me. Thank you very much.
No, that's not a judge. I was only
no, it is a judgment.
Noticing.
It is a judgment. Okay, but I'm saying why the way that you become self-aware of something and so that you can overcome it, like I can't stop saying dicks in my mouth or like some even worse version of that every time I drop something or have an accident.
I say God damn it.
Don't say that.
But I'm saying that's the same kind of thing.
Right.
It comes out before I have a chance
right.
to not say it.
It's not a good thing. Where does it come from? Maybe, you know what I just thought? Okay, when you ask yourself questions, especially in meditation, like if you ask your body, like, what does my body want me to know right now? If you ask your body that, can you hear what its answer is?
Not necessarily, no.
Oh, well, I can't. The answer is the first thought that pops into your head.
Yeah, I don't have an ability to like have an intellectual response to something. It's always much more of a visceral kind of thing. Like I can feel, I have a sense of a feeling or I have like an emotion that is usually tied into some situation, whether it's an observation, self, or other, you know, otherwise.
But thoughts don't, like the dialogue that constantly runs through your head doesn't answer, at least to say, like, this is stupid, you know? It doesn't say nothing.
Oh, you know, in stupid situations, it certainly does.
No, but yeah. Right now, when, okay, so ask yourself, within yourself, mm-hmm. what does my body want me to know right now? First thing that comes to mind. Or feeling visceral, but I have a feeling a thought comes to mind.
Yeah, a thought's not popping into my
head. Really?
Yeah.
Well, my body says, big surprise, like I need to hydrate. But fuck, I got so off track right then. What was the whole point of that? Oh, yeah. So I asked my like subconscious, I guess chalk it up to meditationing. Mm-hmm. We're meditationing in the south of France this year. Mm-hmm. But I asked within myself, I've become good at this, so I've cleared. What you could have is like a congestion between your higher self and, you know, this self.
Yeah.
And so mine told me that the reason that I do yell dicks in my mouth is because I'm dropping something, I'm doing something wrong. I'm having an accident, not in my pants, but like, you know, I had an accident, I dropped something, I broke something, I fucked up in some way. And so saying dicks in my mouth or sometimes like big black dicks in my butthole, like is a way to sort of watch the birdie distract from this fuck up I've just made so everyone doesn't know that I just fucked up.
Hmm. So you say something shocking that kind of just throws
right.
the attention right to that.
And it's my like, old MO. I mean, I haven't done anything new in years as far as
right.
I can tell.
Right. That's interesting.
It's one way to deal with, you know, shame, which is something both whether you're a narcissist or a codependent, you're kind of, you have this overactive shame mechanism implanted in you by your narcissist parent as a child. And so, you know, one side of the coin is the narc who's just like, fuck it, I'm the bad kid. And then the other side is the codependent who's trying to be good. And the narc just doesn't really give a fuck. But, you know, sometimes it's tight to be the narc. I must.
Well, it's like the codependent, at least in the capacity that I had come to understand, would willingly play along with these, you know, situations with the narc, like allow themselves, although saying they're... you know, not aware they are, and they allow whatever the narc gets away with to get away with because they're codependent and they also have abandonment low, issues and all
And low self-esteem usually.
Yeah.
Which is like what kind of the narc plays off of. But
in both situations, it would seem self-awareness is the key lacking.
Yes, definitely. So here's this article from Inc.com, I-N-C. And it's like some guy that's like, you know, in the marketing industry or something. And he wrote 7 signs you're not as self-aware as you think. At symbol Steve Toback wrote this. Oh, shit. Good old Steve Toback. So the first one is you're a bully. If you didn't have emotions, you wouldn't be human. Feelings are important guidance mechanisms. Anger and aggression are no different. They're signs that you feel threatened or scared. You go on the offensive, excuse me, and bully to protect something deep within you, something you don't want people to see. Often feelings of weakness and vulnerability. Ironic, isn't it?
That's funny because that actually reminds me of what you were just saying a second ago. The other thing that I would see is feeling insecure or feeling like the low man on the totem pole in the room of like important people. You get like loud and boisterous and kind of know-it-all-y and kind of condescending and kind of like I don't give a shit attitude and rub everyone else wrong way. They're like, oh, what's this? I'm not saying I was, you know, big on that, but I had seen, I've seen that, you know.
I'm sure.
Time and time again.
And it's almost like it would seem like in an effort from a fear, from a place of fear of people not liking you and accepting you, you act in a way that is so difficult to accept that once again.
It's like shouting, you know, whatever, butterflies in my tits or whatever, you know.
Butterflies in my tits. It is like that. I guess. Number 2, you're defensive. When chief executives resist a consultant or executive coach who wants to meet with their staff or outside directors one-on-one, when genuine and objective feedback makes them agitated or even angry, that's a sure sign. I'm not even sure why they call it defensive, since defensive people almost always deflect by going on the offensive. Narcs are, they red flag themselves by if you ever say anything that's close to a criticism of them, and you know, whether it has malice behind it or not, they switch into this hyper defensive mode where quickly they have to, you know, just go on the defensive. It's so fucking annoying. And then they usually flip something back around on you, and it's like, this is suck balls. Number 3, you're controlling. When you behave in a controlling way, when you micromanage, pick on the little things, it usually means you're not dealing with a big thing that's really bugging you. It means you're not paying attention to something really important. Left unchecked, that can definitely take you down a dark path. I'm trying to think of like an example of that, but I think this might be an area where I'm not as self-aware as I should be, and I know I'm controlling and micromanaging, and but I wonder what's really bugging me. You don't relate?
Well, yeah, I guess so. I mean, I can be a control freak. I can relate to that.
Control.
And micromanagement, is something that I find I consciously try and avoid.
I don't even know what I would micromanage at this point. It's just me. But I did when I was a narc, getting ready to go insane on my 30th birthday. You know, I was micromanaging my manager. Irony. Don't do that, kids.
Yeah, you know, you gotta trust your team to know that, you know.
You got to appreciate them. I didn't appreciate anybody on my team. I was like, these fucking losers are all holding me back. Like, check this out. I'm going to go do it all alone.
Yeah.
And then, like,
not understanding the levers of how things, I suppose, work on that, on a certain level. The personal relationships involved and all of that, you know.
Yeah, I was having a full meltdown. Sorry, everyone that worked with me circa 2009 or whatever year that was. 10, 11? I don't know. How old am I? It doesn't matter. Next one, you're passive aggressive. When you say, sure, no problem, and then you turn around and do the exact opposite, it means you don't want to confront others or be confronted by them. It's a deflection, an attempt to throw them off the scent so you don't have to deal with something that affects you deeply. Again, it's usually something you're not consciously aware of, something that makes you feel vulnerable or embarrassed. Lots of passive aggressivity, if that's even a word, in society. People are so hypercritical, passive aggressive, unwilling to confront. Like, this certain person, I'm just going to say, like these people, Marissa and Phil, that I shared a practice space with, like they stopped talking to me, allegedly, because I stole their tambourine. It's like, I did not steal your tambourine. And if I took it on accident, like, how would I even know it's a fucking tambourine? But why wouldn't they never told me is the thing. I found out through Monty, who found out through Janet, blah, 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 you know?
Right.
But I know that that's not true. That's not why really they stopped talking to me. The real reason is much more lascivious.
Is it lascivious? Lewd and lascivious?
It was a lascivious act that I'm privy to. So anyway, I won't get into it because I don't want to just blow up anybody's spot. But I know the truth that one of them's a narc trying to keep the sweet one. Shout out L.A. Phil. My friend L.A. Phil, who I miss so much, who used to make rap songs with me, now can't because one of them is a narc and not letting Phil... Anyway, I feel bad about it, but mostly I feel bad for Phil. So that was kind of passive aggressive in and of itself, but I guess how can you confront someone who won't confront you about the issue that they have with you? If it were a real issue, we'd solve it. Check out the hook when DJ resolves it. Your behavior changes. When your behavior changes to the point where it's noticeable to others who know or work with you, that's definitely a sign that you're really bothered by something and not aware of how it's affecting your mood. If someone brings it to your attention and you're defensive, that's an even bigger sign. I believe it. Your grandiose is the next one. When we make over-the-top overtures to how confident we are in our ideas, our plans, our business, when our strategies defy objective reasoning or our goals don't pass the smell test, that's a sign we're genuinely in over our heads and are overcompensating to appear like we've got everything under control. I've seen and worked with quite a few CEOs in grandiose mode. If they don't come to terms with it, it never ends well.
Yeah, grandiosity is something that's hard to handle, but at the same time, you kind of need to think big to do big, you know?
Yeah, sometimes you need to be grandiose.
Like Oasis, if they weren't grandiose, they wouldn't have been as big as they had become because their success, the seed of their success was in their original intention, which people would have said was grandiose.
Yeah, and like people like Madonna have had to believe, like, you know, whatever they believe about themselves to get to where they are. Because if they didn't buy into their own grandiosity, they never would have been able to make some of the power moves.
And no one else is going to do it for them.
That cone bra is not going to wear itself, yep, you know?
Exactly.
And the very last one on signs that you are not as self-aware as you think is you make excuses. Excuses, any kind of excuses, are ways of avoiding or deflecting negative attention. Pointing fingers and blaming others are common avoidance techniques that communicate our resistance to being held accountable. That's why playing the blame game is such a transparent sign of dysfunctional leadership or management. And yeah. Yet we see it all too often, don't we?
Absolutely. And there's an, you know, I have a certain thing that I do or say, which is that there are excuses and then there are reasons. And being that, like, an excuse would be like, my dog ate my homework. And a reason might be something such as, we had no power and I was sitting in the dark all night and couldn't read my textbook or something like that. So
that's still an excuse, just FYI.
It isn't. They both are. Absolutely.
Because why couldn't you?
Because what I'm essentially was thinking was that one is within my control and one is out of my control, but really ultimately neither are out of one's control.
Neither are out of one's control. That is the trick that being like that backdoor ego coming in as the victim mentality. So it's not my fault. You know, there are some of us, myself as one, who have like crazy extenuating circumstances happen to them all the time and end up because of them fucking up and disappointing people, not shipping, you know, Kickstarter rewards or whatever, not all of them, but some, you know, but, oh, I would have done it, but, you know, Caitlin said she would help me and then she didn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not Caitlin's fault. It's my fault because I, at the end of the day, am the one who said, look, I'm going to do this.
Right.
And no matter what happens in my life, I'm expected to still do it. And I finally today get that. But like, I really didn't even get it up to a few years ago. Like, it doesn't matter if my dick gets cut off.
Yeah. Or if, say, you're supposed to be somewhere at a certain time and you're waiting to get picked up to get there, and the person picking you up is late, so you're there late. Really, you know.
Really, you should have driven yourself.
Or just, like, not even made the plan to begin with.
And never leave the house. Yeah.
Yeah. You're just,
that's what I think.
You're in control. So if something doesn't work out, you know, you had the ability to deal with it.
But, like, your dog eating your homework. Yeah, that sucks.
Well, that was a bad example.
No, but it's a good example because that is how it goes. Because the dog, when he dog's eating it, you didn't feed it to him. It's not your fault. Mm-hmm. Why should you be punished? Mm-hmm. Well, because life happens to all of us, and it's not the person who's expecting the homework or expecting you to be there on time. It's not their fault.
Right.
And your own
it's not
responsibility.
Their fault for giving you the homework.
Right. It's nobody's fault. It is what it is. You just need to do your shit. Don't fucking make up a reason.
Take credit for it not being there because it was your duty to do it.
Just beat up some small kid and make him give you his homework.
Exactly. There's always another way.
There is always another way. There's always my way.
The highway?
Any honey hitchhiked across the USA. I just realized this is the same song as
Lola.
Kind of time. I know it's gonna go fine. Something else. Oh, do. And here I am, the only living boy. Hollywood.
L.A.
Yeah. In North Hollywood.
Chandler Woods.
Chandler Park. I get my news on the weather report. Actually, I don't. I don't watch the news. No weather report. Hey, chemtrails are dropping on me every day. And here I am, the only living dying in North Hollywood. could be like Simon and Garfunkel and just like, except like the beautiful Simon and Garfunkel.
Mm-hmm. I think we could. Absolutely.
Of course, I mean, just like,
I think you would be Paul Simon, though.
What? Did I hint at being Garfunkel?
No, I just think that you're more Paul Simon.
It's because Garfunkel seemed like he really wanted to be playing the drums, don't you think?
Yeah, but he did have a really nice ability to sing some sweet harmonies.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of have to do something really well when you're that putridly ugly as Simon and Garfunkel are. Just kidding.
Oh, my.
That was so narc.
Very.
You know, when I was a baby, a narc baby, I used to, like, hate people who were, like, grotesque looking.
Oh, yeah, that's super narky.
Music. When it came to music, I would be so, like, Billy Joel, I was so bummed to find out what he looked like.
Right.
So sad.
That's interesting. You know, people thought the Rolling Stones and Mick Jagger were hideously ugly when they came out, too.
That's what that halo effect thing is. Wait, is it? No, I'm getting confused. Sometimes I feel like I know so much, I'm going schizophrenic. Sometimes I just want to go to the clinic, get my vagina tested for an STD. When those knocks blow loads in me, will I get a set of HIVs? One positive and one negative G. I don't know, is that bad? Makes me want to call up my dad, say, what up, Kent? Shout out to my dad, Kent. I can't hardly wait to get my HIV test results back. I fuck Magic Johnson high on crack. Is that bad? I thought his AIDS all went away, but he had a little crazy strain just for me. Oh, no, 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 no. Because he's on the down low, 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 low. Down low, 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 la, 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 la.
Nice. Well, I'd like to give some tips on a few exercises to increase your self-awareness since, you know.
Oh, that sounds great.
Maybe we could, like.
Like Kegels?
Maybe there's some way to, you know, lift ourselves up out of this cul-de-sac.
Kegels.
Well, one thing that I've come across that everyone seems to say across the board is keeping a journal, which is different from a diary.
Right.
And, you know, self-review and self-analysis.
Right, you're supposed to, like, look back after some period of time and be like, what are the trends in my, like, day-to-day shit or something?
Well, I imagine that, you know, you look at what you could have done better, per se, I suppose, you know, looking at any situations in the past that maybe you have misgivings about and seeing what your part was in it and what you could have done differently to make it have a better outcome.
Oh, like a fourth and tenth step.
Yes, sure, for all of those who...
who go to the cult like we used to. But it was, you know, AA had a good thing going with that. It is good to go look at your shit and, yeah, become self-aware.
Yeah, write it down. And then, you know, learn to look at yourself objectively. It's nearly impossible to actually look at yourself objectively, but it's always worth a shot.
You know, I find I disassociate with myself so much that I can almost look at myself objectively. I can at least look at myself as if that person is a stranger to me.
Mm-hmm. You know, sure.
Or that
sure.
Person of the past me is not me anymore.
I feel that way, actually. I really do. Have you ever thought back to something you did and just cringed and wondered, like, why that, why that you did that or how, you know?
Yeah.
And it's not you. It's like a different person, in a sense.
And every 7 years, we completely regenerate cellularly, right. So we are a different person.
We are, every 7 years. And it's that seven-year cycle thing that's really... I've noticed 7, 14, 21, 28, 35, 42, 49.
Now you sound like a schizo too.
No, man. I'm just keeping score on the football. But seriously, those are pretty pivotal points in anyone's life.
I noticed it
to be true. And here, you know, they recommend you write your own manifesto.
What's that mean?
Just basically, what are you about, baby?
Oh.
What's your thing? What's your schwa? What makes you tick? And what is it you believe in, if anything?
I'm not dumb, but I can't understand why. Ghosting is the cutest cat in the land. Ghosting. Is that it? Four things?
Yeah, four things was recommended.
And meditation wasn't one?
No. But stop overthinking everything.
Yeah, that's a big problem today in the world in general. I see it, and it's either people not thinking whatsoever.
Which is a thing I do a lot, or I sit and think.
Right, that's the two problems going on mm-hmm. amongst the world. And it's like people will sit and think so much that they don't actually fucking do anything.
Right.
I've seen people like sink into this, like just, you know what it is? It's social media. I just figured it out for the second time.
Is it?
Yes, because when you're on social media, You're earning self-esteem through other people approving, liking, thumbs-upping, commenting on your shit.
That's one aspect of it.
That's pretty much, it's all a narc thing. It's all, look at me, I'm the star of my show.
Well, that's an aspect of it, but then if you...
That's the aspect.
If then there's the other side, like some people don't really post... And
those are the people who now think so much because they see other people and they have such poor self-esteem. They're like, I don't have anything useful to even post. And so they sit there and they're just someone who watches other people living fake lives made for Facebook and Instagram and shit. And they're so scared of being judged that they don't actually post anything. And maybe a lot of times they don't do anything.
Well, that's another side of the coin, but there's yet, I think, another...
What is it?
Another third option there. Well, I think the news feeds, depending on who you're connected with, you can kind of treat it, in a sense, as another media form that you...
Oh, right.
That you just kind of observe, like, what are the stories of the day, you know? And because there'll always be people commenting on... the big news stories, as well as what's going on locally, as well as what's trending or what's the buzz of, you know, what any given
thing. Yeah, but the problem is, who cares? Well, I mean, everybody does except me, I guess.
You know, I mean, yeah, the same can be said for reading the newspaper.
I don't do that either. Well, it's garbage.
Right,
piss.
I'm just saying, who cares? Lots of people care. You know, right. Lots of people
losers.
Pay attention to
that. No offense, losers listening right now. But, like... I'm alone in this one, so I ought to just shut my mouth.
Yeah, I mean, it might come off a bit narky to call everyone losers just because they pay attention to media, because that would then, you know.
I know. Sometimes I just don't care, and I just want to lambast people for doing things that make them so unhappy, because I know how that is, and I've been there. I've looked at life from both sides now, and why pay attention to this news source that's A, mostly lies, B, put there in your path to fill you purposely with fear, to keep you overthinking and underachieving in your life in general. So afraid of being judged negatively by your fucking loser peers on Facebook. And I'm not saying I'm a winner. I'm a fucking loser too. Just, I guess, in a different way. But so worried about what everyone's going to think that you never get the balls to bare your soul and speak from your heart and show people what's in there. You have to be a skeptical fucking, like, asshole, like, snarky, like, person who's always, everything's a joke to you. If you're like this, you are a miserable fuck, A. B, you're losing. When you have to be making fun of everybody else, you're a fucking asshole, first of all. And B, like, what do you do? You know, what do you do? Some people do do stuff and they are, you know, popular musicians and shit like that. But I'm just like, cool, that means
that
nothing to me.
There's stuff that aren't popular, and there's probably people that go on social media that aren't snarky. And, you know, I mean, that's.
But it seems like most people are snarky or some degree of social justice warrior.
Mm-hmm.
People who just want to get pissed at something. Like, I'm pissed right now. But people who just want to be like, yeah, you know, go for it. Well, in my news feed anyway, I went on Facebook last night, in all honesty. And my day is less happy because of it. I only go on about once a month, I would say.
Right.
And I'm lured there somehow. And I fucking regret it every time because I got enough distance from it to realize how terrible it makes me feel as a human, as myself, you know, and I'm aware of all these things. I have the self-awareness to even know what's happening, and it still affects me in the same exact way.
I feel that way about Instagram as well.
Instagram is just as bad, if not, no, Facebook is the worst. Instagram is the second worst, and Twitter is, I feel, the best.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because your characters are so limited.
Well, yeah, tweeting seems to be more of like what I was talking about too, like where you're just kind of observing what's going on in the world, but it's not so much of the like humble brag thing, which is really big on Instagram, you know.
Yes, it is.
The humble brag. Here, look where I'm, you know, look at what I'm doing, where I'm at, who I'm with, what I'm eating, whatever the fuck.
Well, you know? What should people post on there? Like pictures of their colonoscopies?
Their butts.
That's what I'm saying. Like, why can't, you know, I think to alleviate shame, there should be one day a year where everyone has to be naked.
Yeah, that's
not just to alleviate shame, to alleviate curiosity. They should.
Yeah, I agree.
Now if they're going to have unisex bathrooms, you might as well.
And the police should all wear clown uniforms.
Or clown hats over their penises.
Yeah.
Are you mocking me?
No, I think that if everyone was naked, law enforcement would probably still have to, you know, have apparatus to enforce.
Well, yeah, what are they going to rape you with?
Right? So
they can't leave DNA.
They can't wear their normal uniforms.
They walked up to me and they asked me to spread them, and I was like, come on, guys, you don't get them anally raped. Please don't get me anally raped with the, what's that thing called? I guess it's called the police baton.
A nightstick,
and the Night Ranger slipping me night dick. It's not nice, it's so mean. What about sweet Christine?
She's asleep.
Where? Oh, I couldn't even see her. She blends in.
Mm-hmm.
Baby Goostine, Goo Goostine, but winning in you. Well, how long have we been doing this? I don't know.
I think it's about that time.
It's about that time that we thank our beautiful friend, Jed Shepherd, a post-pop podcast, for producing us both in an act of unisex love with himself. And not unlike God, more like Todd. Does anyone want to buy my hot rod? It's a car. But it's the way of life, I swear. Does anyone want to go to the tranny bar tonight? I got one called the Silver Lake Lounge. I think you're really, really gonna like having a residency. A revelation at my residency. Nobody likes me because they think I'm a tranny. No. Is that so bad? I think it's good. I'm my own mom and dad because I gave birth to myself and ate my placenta. Thanks for listening to Empath of Least Resistance. Gain self-awareness, you guys. Anal Awareness Month is all this month.
It's Anal Awareness Month.
And if you're not aware that you love anal, better get underwear and don't get tangled up. Get them in your rump crack. And if you didn't know you love licking sack, well, that's for next month, because this is Anal Awareness Month. If you don't know that you love to fairness and punch donkey punches right in the back of your head so your butthole clenches up right when the guy's gonna come over to your house and rape you with a nightstick. Oh, oh, oh yeah. Thanks for listening to Empath.